Turn with me, if you would, please, to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. Would like to look at verses 22 through 33 this morning and observe how Jesus teaches his disciples and how he teaches you, because you are a disciple of Jesus. Beginning at verse 22 of Matthew chapter 14. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you in the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had gotten down out of the boat, he walked in the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." So ends the reading of God's word. Let's pray. Lord, open your word to our hearts this day. Help us to see that we are your disciples. Disciples are for teaching. And help us to learn from your word about that in this passage today. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. And learning always involves practical application. You read about something, and then maybe you watch someone else do it, and then you do it. You always have that learning, teaching, and then practical application where you learn to apply that. Well, Jesus has always provided practical hands-on experience for his disciples. He wants them to apply. He wanted them to apply what they had learned. However, he always seems to put his disciples in awkward situations. And he does that to you and to me, doesn't he? You find yourself in these situations and that are sometimes so unique to yourself. You look what he did to disciples. John chapter 4, he takes them to Samaria, where they never would go. The feeding of the 4,000, the feeding of the 5,000, what he taught them there. John 11, raising Lazarus, and Caesarea Philippi, which they never went there either because that was where the real demons lived, the real heathens. If you believed in the Lord Jesus for your salvation and you're trusting him, you are a disciple. He teaches you the same way through the circumstances of life, which strengthens and grows your faith. That's what takes place. What he brings into your life every day has a purpose of growing your faith all the time, little by little, as the weeks and the months go by. If you believed in him, this passage is for you. So let's go visit the Sea of Galilee and observe Jesus is teaching his disciples in the water here. And what he's teaching you and me as his disciples. The first thing I'd like you to notice, first thing I want you to notice is where Jesus teaches you in verses 22 through 24. Jesus teaches his disciples, you're a disciple. But notice where Jesus teaches you. First of all, you'll notice as he leads you in life. You see this in verse 22. Notice what happens here. He made the disciples get into the boat And actually the word made there is he forced them in. He persuaded. They didn't really want to go. So he put them in and made them go into the boat. He knew what he was going to do. But it was Jesus himself who put his disciples in this situation. I often wonder why Jesus does the things the way he does. He has a purpose, and he does it to you and me as well. And he grows our faith. Because once we experience something and we grow through it, then we are able to apply it in other situations. But then other things happen to grow our faith as well. Jesus put his disciples in this situation. He does that throughout history, throughout the church. Look at Joshua 3:15 for a moment. Joshua chapter 3, verse 15. It says, as they were getting ready to cross the Jordan, as those who bore the ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priest who bore the ark dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its bank during the whole time of harvest. Now, it's interesting because in Joshua's time, this was the worst time to even go near the Jordan River. But that's when God told them to go. When things look so great and so awful, when he resolves things, when he blesses you, when you work through whatever it is, it strengthens you. But he often brings things to such a degree that seem almost impossible. This is how Jesus teaches you and me as well. Leads us in life through all circumstances that we face each day. And as he leads you, he does it in your normal, everyday lives. He is directing you. So keep this in mind. On days when things don't go the way you want them to or the way you planned them, remember, the psalmist says that the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. And in another place, he says, who can understand yourself? How do you understand what you're doing if the Lord's directing you? But keep that in mind. You have your agenda. You have what you want to do that day. But the Lord can change that. And he often does. So as he leads you in life, that's where he teaches you. You don't go to a school building or anything, but it's in life. Everyday life. And also, he teaches you as he watches you. As he watches you. Look at Mark chapter 6, verse 48 for a moment. Mark chapter 6, verse 48. This is Mark's account, from Mark's account. Mark 6, verse 48. It says, then he saw them straining at rowing, and that was Jesus. For the wind was against them. Now about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea and would have passed them by. I mean, you can imagine this terrible storm. The wind's blowing, the water's blowing, they're trying to keep. Jesus walks by and says, hi, see you guys a little later. And all of a sudden they cry out saying he's a ghost, you know, You just get that imagining, you know, he's as if he was going to walk by. Now see on the other side, you know. Hours went by as Jesus was watching them. This was the fourth watch. This was between around 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning. People aren't on the boat in the middle of the water at that time. But it indicates from when Jesus sent them and he went up the mountain to pray. It indicates that he watched them anywhere from 3 to 5 hours as they were straining in that boat, trying to keep it afloat. But he watched them. Isn't that interesting? He reveals his divine nature by seeing them. Now, he's up on the mountain, and he sees them. Now, in a storm, you don't see things like that if you or I on the beach or something, the wind, and you know, maybe it's foggy, water's going, you can't see that well. But Jesus did, and he saw them from a distance. You see, your Savior always has his eyes on you. God is so incredible, so wonderful, so ubiquitous that he is always watching his people. And he put his spirit in his people. He has his eyes on you. Sometimes it seems like a long time, doesn't it? Just like these disciples here. A long time. He always watches you. One thing is true. One thing that's true for us is the longer we wait sometimes, the sweeter the grace is for us, isn't it? The sweeter it is sometimes, the longer we wait. But this is what Jesus teaches you. He leads you, verse 22. He watches you in verse 23 through 24. The boat's there, the wind was contrary, and you see what happens. But also, he teaches you as he protects you. We read this in Mark chapter 6. Notice it says, he saw them, and then he came to them. Now, the question is, again, no normal human being would be able to see them from that kind of distance. But Jesus was God, and he saw them. He viewed them on the sea. Now, it's very interesting because he was probably teaching them a lot giving them understanding about the sea, because they always thought that the sea, the bottom of the sea, was the abyss where Satan and his cohorts all lived there. So they were deathly afraid of being caught in the water or off a boat in any time, but especially here at night or early morning as he does this. So he shows his power to them. You know, again, it didn't seem like Jesus was protecting them, did it? But he was. That's the way it is with our lives, with your life. You may think, Jesus isn't protecting me. He's not watching me. He's always with you. But sometimes he watches and does things that grow your faith and make you more holy, which we all will be thankful for when we are in his presence. Thankful to him for that. But he protects you. Look at Psalm 125, verse 1 for a moment. Psalm 125, verse 1. It says, those who trust in Yahweh are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. You see that? You trust in him. You're just like Mount Zion. Nobody can move that. You abide forever. This is you. This is what he's doing to you. Teaches you through all of this. So this is where Jesus teaches you. We see that as his disciples, we see what he's doing. And we can see how that applies to us. As he leads you, he watches you, and he protects you. He does all those things, even though you aren't always cognitively aware of what he's doing. But that's what he does. He does these things. Second thing I'd like you to notice is found in verse 25 through 27. When Jesus teaches you, so we have seen where Jesus teaches you in a normal everyday life, but when does he teach you? Verses 25 through 27. Now it says, now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them on the sea, and his disciples saw him walking on the sea and were troubled. They said it was a ghost, and they cried out for fear. As I said, early morning, the fourth watch, 3 to 6, a very scary time to be at sea. Normally, you're asleep at this time. Doesn't Jesus always astonish you and surprise you? I'm doing certain things, what he does, the way he does it. Often when you're not paying attention and in ways that you can't take credit for it. See, that's one of the big things. Jesus wants us to know that he's the one doing it. And he does things so that we don't think it's ourselves, that we could puff ourselves up. I remember our first trip to Bulgaria. And we had such a terrible flight. Everything went wrong. We got there early morning. We were bringing a lot of things in. We have four large suitcases full of anything from books to foods to pots and pans and Bibles and everything. And there were two lines. There was a line for the nationals and there was a line for the visitors. And as we were working up through the line, we became second in line, and we saw that this guard was demanding that all the bags be opened, the money be presented and counted out and all that. And this was so horrible that night. And I thought, I don't believe this. Emmanuel would have been better just taking everything himself because he didn't have any problems. But as we got closer, the guard from where the nationals went in whistled and waved us over. So we walked over. He just took our passports, stamped them, and that was it. Said, have a nice day. Didn't search anything. Didn't look at anything. You know, it's like he does it in his time. I mean, we were walking up, getting closer and closer. It wasn't until that point in time when it had to be. So it's in his time when he does it. He'll do it. Wait on him. And then he also does it in his way. You see this in verse 26. As he's walking, it says that the disciples were there, that they were troubled. The word troubled means to be troubled in spirit and in soul, everything that's in you. That's what they were doing when they saw him. They were so troubled. It was unbelievable. And when they said they thought it was a ghost, that was where we get the English word phantom from, or apparition. That's what they thought. Thought that it was a ghost. And they cried out. And the word used for cried out is an onomatopoetic word, which means the sound is the name. The sound is the word itself. And they cried out. It was like a raven's sound. And they cried out. They were terribly afraid. As I said, Jesus walked as if he was going to go by. You know, Jesus still puts you in very scary situations at times. Things that you don't know what to do or you're uncertain. He doesn't do that to torment you, but to teach you that you can trust him, that he'll work it out. You know, it's so important that we understand that in scary times, he's still there with us. He does it in his way and in his time. The third thing I'd like you to see is in his power, he does it. In verse 27, but immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. Be of good cheer is a word which means courage, have confidence. And it's a command, do this. Do not be afraid. And the word for fear is a word where we get the word phobia, which is a real deep, hard fear, terror and dread. And literally it means stop being afraid like that. It is I. And when he said it is I, it's like what he said when he claimed to be God in the Gospels, where the Pharisees, and they were going to take up stones to throw at him. He says, it is I. He said, before Abraham was, I am. And in the Septuagint, where the Lord God gives his name Yahweh, it's translated into that word, it is I. When Jesus teaches you, it's hard to wait sometimes, isn't it? Sometimes you wait. You have to wait and wait. And if you've ever done anything and you set a timer and you wait till the timer goes off. But there are times when I thought I set the timer, but I didn't. And I'd be sitting there waiting or looking for something to change when it was going to happen. And I realized, never set the timer. God doesn't give you a timer. He brings it in his time. In his power, in his grace, he does it. He loves his people, and he doesn't want his people to worry. And that's what he's saying here. You know, it's interesting that a study was done that 40% of the things that we worry about will never happen. 30% things that that can't be changed. You can't change it. 12% things that are criticism by others, mostly untrue. And then 10% we worry about health issues, which tend to get worse if you do worry about them. And then there's only 8% of things that we worry about that are real problems that we have to face and deal with. You see, we are like that. We have to put our trust. And that's what Jesus was asking his disciples to do. Trust me. Look at me. I'm here. I'll provide for you. When Jesus teaches you, so you can look at your life and realize sometimes in the last moment, in the last couple situations where you wait for so long and then finally an answer comes and maybe it's different than what you expected. You just don't know. But he says, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. I'm here. I'm with you. The third thing I'd like you to notice, last thing, is what Jesus teaches you. Notice what he teaches you here. You see this, don't you, in verses 28 through 33. Verses 28 through 33. The first thing I'd like you to see, verses 27 and 28, he teaches you about fear. Notice this illustration he gives to us in verse 28. Peter said, answered and said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come down and walk in the water. And Jesus says, come. And he gets down in the water, starts walking on the water, and then looks around and sees the waves and the wind and everything. And he begins to fall and he cries out to the Lord. And the Lord said, why did you doubt? Jesus was teaching them about fear. He was on the water, an incredible storm. And another real miracle is that they heard Jesus' voice. If you've ever been in a really bad storm in the water, in a lake, or on the ocean, you know you can't hear very well, and you certainly can't see very well, but yet they heard Jesus. And the disciples heard Jesus, and Jesus heard them, which was amazing in itself. But you see, he teaches them about terror, about fear. Jesus' voice comes to them. Even his disciples, he's showing them about his power. You don't need to be afraid or fear during the storms of your life. Notice he says, listen, he shows you that the most frightful thing that they could do would be to get into the water, fall off the boat, realize you're dealing with the abyss, what they believe in the bottom of the ocean, and hear Jesus does all that to show them these things. And he's always with his people. Look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 for a moment. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. It says, God says, I will never leave you or forsake you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you, no matter what it is, no matter how difficult it is. Even in the darkest and most difficult places, he is there. And you can hear his voice speaking to you through his word. He'll never, ever leave you. That's very emphatic there. I will never, ever leave you. He teaches, you see. This is what Jesus teaches you about fear. That's one of the things we learn here as his disciples. Jesus was teaching his first disciples about fear. So what you're facing in life, look at this and realize he addresses the fear. The second thing I think it is about trust. He teaches them about trust. See, then verse 29, he calls Peter to come. He's invited to walk in the water, and Peter does for a time. And I think what he was saying to them, no matter how hard and awful things are, you can trust me. Here he's walking on the water. No one can do that. Jesus could, and he enabled Peter to do it. Whatever it is. You know, it can be the most unusual thing, and he's there. He wants them to trust him. He wanted them to know that even in this storm, even in the water, that they could trust him, that he's always there. Very interesting, verse 31, it says, when he saw, he turned his focus off the Lord and unto the wind. He became focused upon and was looking continually at the wind, is the way it's translated. And then he's afraid. He has the fear again, and he begins to sink because he took his eyes off Jesus. I tell you, no matter what you're going through, no matter what I'm going through, we have to keep our eyes on the Lord, because if we don't, we will fear. We will fear, and it's not easy, but we have to do that. Whenever we take our focus off the Lord's presence and power, we'll sink in the water just like Peter did. Look at Psalm 27, verse 14 for a moment. Psalm 27, verse 14. It says, Psalmist says, wait on Yahweh, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on Yahweh. Wait. Wait on the Lord. Wait on him. Be of good courage. You know, it's hard to wait for things. It's not easy. Coming to Presbytery, I was really not looking forward to the ride because it was like 8 hours down and 8 hours back. So, but as I got through it, and I dreaded when it came, but when we got there and we started to do it, it wasn't as bad because I thought it was going to be, and here it's over. I mean, the Lord provided. The Lord kept us from any crashes or anything. Trust in him with all your heart, as Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He'll direct your path. The word doubt is an interesting word. It means to stand in two different ways. Peter was looking at the world. He was looking at the wind. He was looking at the water. Those two things, and that caused him to take his eyes off the Lord. Don't turn back. Keep your eyes on him. So he teaches about trust. And then the third thing I think he teaches you is about authority. You see this in verse 32. And they got into the boat, the wind ceased. The storm was over. You see that? The wind and the storm stopped. After he and Peter got back into the boat, he wanted to show his disciples, he wants to show you to know that it was his power that brought the storm to an end. And in your life, it's his power that will bring it to the end. That's what he is saying. Actually, look at John chapter 6, verse 19 through 21. This is John's account. This is very interesting. Each one of the writers has a different angle on it. It says, John chapter 6, verse 19, so when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near the boat, and they were afraid. They're afraid because they didn't know it was Jesus. But he said to them, it is I, do not be afraid. Then they willingly received him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land where they were going. You see John's account here, there's another miracle here. When the storm stopped, now remember they were out in the middle of the sea. When the storm stopped, they were at the bank. It stopped, that's where they were. All of a sudden, they didn't have to row in or go in any farther, they were already there. That was a miracle. John says they were immediately at the shore. You know, this teaches me that we can go through anything because Jesus is always present with us. He's always present with you. And his power has no limits. And nothing can happen to you apart from his will and his ordaining it. Jesus teaches his disciples. When he teaches you, as he leads you, as he watches you, as he protects you, when Jesus teaches you, in his time, his way, and his power, and what Jesus teaches you as his disciples about fear, about trust, and about authority. What an incredible learning experience this was for the disciples, and should be that way for us as we watch this and consider this. A practical learning experience for his disciples. You see, learning can take place anywhere. And that will happen anytime or in any place or anywhere in your life, maybe when you least expect it. May the Lord teach all of us from this important learning experience at the sea. Remember, the Lord is always teaching you every day, all the time in your life. Why? Because you're his disciples. And disciples are for teaching.